We're in our second episode this week, and last week we had the Yagwaho Dzira Dadje language nest here, and for this week we're going to be continuing on with our discussion on the matters of language revitalization in our community. And this show is brought to you by the Mohawk Super Bingo on Highway 138. And I would like to welcome our three guests who we have in tonight, the Wanitatsu Delil, Yagosundio McCumber, and Aguirredeca Martin. And when we're looking at language, recently there was a PBS documentary that was online, and you can look for it. There's DVDs that you can buy, and I would really suggest if you're interested in looking into different Ungwehunwe people and what they're doing in the areas of language revitalization, it's called Language Matters. And the question that they ask is that, with languages all over the world in danger of extinction, what exactly do we lose? And so each language is a vision of the world, and every language that is lost is a loss of a fragment of that vision. When we lose a language, we lose part of ourselves. And so here in Kahnawake, we've been in the midst of our revitalization movement with our language for many years now. And one of the teachers that we have here was a teacher for myself back in grade two, I can remember. That was quite a while ago. And he was then my vice principal. He also was a teacher all throughout. And currently he teaches at Kahnawake Survival School, and he's one of the Gunyegeha teachers. And so, Tuanitatsu, I just want to ask you, in all the years that you've been working with this language revitalization, why do you feel that it was so important to get involved in it?
Well, back, I guess, when I was a child, everybody in Kahnawake spoke Gunyegeha, that is the elders and the, like, my parents and grandparents. And for some reason, I was told by my mother, this is only later, that because of the school system, the government and teachers who were not native people said that if you studied in French and English, you would be much better off in the so-called world. If you stayed with your language, you would, I guess, continue to live in Kahnawake, kind of be a farmer, you'd plant your things, and you wouldn't amount to anything. So that was really drummed into us as children. And it's very sad, because at that time in the late 50s and early 60s, anything to do with traditional beliefs or ceremonies was hidden. It was underground. I was told that Longhouse people were bad and you shouldn't hang around with them. But yet I knew my friends who were participating in the singing and doing things in their basement and going to places where there were farms, and it was done in barns. So we didn't, like, tell our parents. But I think they said it tongue-in-cheek. They knew what was going on, but it seemed to be frowned upon in the whole community. And being at my age, 66, really, people my age and older would have experienced that. I think it's difficult for people younger to believe that that's how things were during those times.
So in this time, so growing up, were you a fluent speaker, or did you learn later in life? Or,
well, in my house, my grandparents never spoke a word of English because they couldn't. So whenever they tell me, for example, my grandfather would say, so I turned to my mother and say, Ma, and I didn't even call her Ista. I called my grandmother Ista. Mm-hmm. So I said, Ma, did Lugani say, go to the store and buy bread and milk? And she said, yeah, that's what he said. So I understood everything, but we didn't speak it back because we were getting trained to go to school in English. So it was, again, a sad state of affairs at the time.
Mm-hmm. So in your time, what did you see change? What was the shift in our community's thinking around the language?
Well, I think gradually in the early 70s, there was this rebirth of our culture and our beliefs. I think the Longhouse, like, sort of came out of hiding, and the beliefs were now in the community. People were wondering, you know, why was it suppressed for so long? So I didn't at that point start, you know, to get involved, but I played lacrosse with a fellow, my friend, the late Eddie Delarone. And he was always drumming into me the importance of the language and the culture and so on. And I always would kind of laugh at him and say, Eddie, you're backwards and all that. But eventually I came to see that it was the right way to go. And I mean, a few years ago, before he passed away, I remember directly apologizing to him for the fact that I kind of ridiculed his beliefs.
Mm. And it's interesting because last week we had his sister who was on, Gasana De Phillips, and she was talking about, you know, growing up with the language, her mother really hammering it into them, you know, about the importance of it. And we can see that, you know, it was consistent even with Eddie and a lot of the people at that time. And throughout the 70s and into the 80s, so this revitalization movement was kind of gaining steam then, and it was getting into our schools. And so you were a part of all of that movement too?
Yeah, in the early 80s, they had courses after school for, well, it was really cultural awareness and a bit of language. And then I seemed to really take to the language. At the time, it was Dorothy Lazor who was giving the courses. And I was finding that these words were in the back of my mind, and I could say things that really I didn't think I could say. But anyways, I practiced and I was able to say things. And then eventually they decided to make a course. There was so much, giving French people the training in English and English people the training in French. So I remember it was Gagayun Stadir. She approached the, the people in charge of education. At the time, it was an office in Montreal, and said, well, why can't we have training in our own language? And hence, 8 people were chosen. And in effect, the first Radio Nanirat's program came to fruition in 1985.
And so speaking of Radio Nanirat's, years had gone by. There was some of the initiatives to have the language for the adults. And in studio, we have 2 of the first-year students, I believe, right? You guys were the first ones who helped start Radio Nanirat.
The guinea pigs.
And that was in 2001
to 2002.
Yeah. Okay, and so being part of that, what made you want to be a part of that initial first group who had started the Radio Nanirat program, which is now over a decade old?
Okay. So for myself, I was 19 when I graduated, so I was 18 before it started. And around that time, that's when, well, Gasano is my auntie, Eddie is my uncle, and it's the same family. So my grandmother, she had a stroke at in my teens, and so she was just kind of sitting around and she was depressed, and something got into me where I wanted to learn a bit more, because I was in the city for high school, and so there's all these different people learning their own, they knew their own languages and I didn't know mine. So then I would go see her. I was like, Ma, well, how do you say this, how do you say that, trying to learn it from a French point of view, because that's that's what I was learning. And then I was trying, and then she made me promise. She's like, Guradeka. She's like, I want you to learn this language. It's yours. I want you to learn it. You have to promise me. And I'm like, you know, we always promise our grandparents something. But I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. But it stuck with me. Because when she died, not too long after, a couple of years, probably a year later, she died. And then I was like, oh. It was still in the back of my mind. And so then I graduated high school. I went to college. And then in that time, I wasn't really happy with what I was learning. So I came back in Gahnawaga to learn Ganyakeha, like part-time at night with the late Lawrence Francis. And so then Radio Nanirat started up. And I said, that's my chance. I went for it. I quit school. Well, I didn't quit. I put it on hold. And that's when it started.
And for our listeners who might not know, Aguirre-Deca is, I would have to say, one of our speakers who are at the forefront. He, you know, a lot of our speakers who are second language learners today turn to him to really, you know, learn about our language. He's taught adults, he's taught children. Currently, he's at our high school and he's teaching at KSS, so he's teaching adolescents. And so being that you're such a proficient speaker, it's for some, they might be surprised to learn that you didn't grow up with the language, right? And
not really. We all kind of grew up in that same immersion boat. We went to immersion, but we didn't speak it at home.
Yeah.
We heard it from our grandparents, but we never spoke it.
And so what did you have to do to gain the level of proficiency that you're at today? Like in a nutshell, I know it's been a long journey and there's been a lot of learning in the process, but
14 years. I don't know what clicked in my mind. I think as a child, there was always something really missing in my life. I wasn't really good at school, didn't have friends. There was nothing that really elevated me in life. Usually people are good at sports or dancing, or they have some kind of thing that they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I started Radiwanahnirats, I noticed that, you know what, this is something that I'm able to do. It's quick. There's patterns, it's quick, and this is something that I can really enjoy. And it was kind of like a music for me. It was a bit easier because my father, his family, they're musical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never had that growing up. Never had music, and it was always something I wanted. And so language is kind of like music. And so that's where I picked it up. I'm like, this is what can help me have more confidence in my life. So that's what was my drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to talk to people, and I'm nosy. So, and it got me out of my shell to be able to talk to people because I never really had any friends. And so it's kind of, still today, it's kind of like this shield over me. There's this other person, this Ganyageha person, that is easier to talk. I'm easier to talk to in Ganyageha. Well, I think so. I think so. I'm more open and more chatty
because...
Mm-hmm. Wasn't so confident in English, since we were always made fun of. But so Ganyageha was something that pushed me and made me a happier person.
Mm-hmm. So for Yagosundio, being part of that first group, what was it that brought you to want to be part of that Radiwanahnirats, that first ever adult immersion group?
Well, at the time, I was going to Dawson for the community recreational leadership program they have there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the powwow in town, and Gahte Hiruni came up to me and she's like, hey, there's this program coming up and they're going to be interviewing people to see if you can get into this adult immersion. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll try it. And I was like a little bit hesitant, wasn't sure if I should apply. And then after talking to my mother and my brother, Tommy, they really encouraged, yeah, just try, see if you get in and go from there. And I did. I remember going to the interview. I don't even remember who was in the room, but because I was so nervous, because I haven't spoken the language since elementary school or even, well, high school. And just being challenged in that way of looking at a picture and what can you say, and then having to go sit in on the side room and having to write. And I was, like, really nervous coming out of it. It was nice to think and being challenged that way. And I was just kind of going with the flow. If I get in, then I was accepted. And so I chose Radiwanahnirats over going back to college. And then, yeah, so I was in it. And being challenged, walking in that door, knowing you can't speak English once you're in that room. And I didn't talk for a few days. But just being surrounded by it and being immersed, it was such a good feeling being in that environment. It was home, it was family, it was like so many people had different issues or whatever, and you were just there together in the language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It created a feeling.
For those of you who are just joining in, this is Our Voices, and on tonight's show we have the Wanit Datsu Dalil, Yagosundio Macumber, and also Aguirre-Deca Martin, and we're talking about the revitalization of the language in our community. We're talking about the Radiwanahnirats program, and we're really looking tonight at second language learners and those of our generation who are regaining this knowledge of our language. And I guess part of the struggle, or even just part of the journey of relearning our language and everything that comes with it, and the big reason as to why we're doing it. And so today, looking at it, I guess we can ask our guests in tonight is, where do you see that we're at today? Do you kind of think that we're in a good place, or do we have a ways to go yet where we can be comfortable in knowing that our language will survive into the next generation? Because it always seems like there's this cloud over us that, you know, it's an endangered language. It can be lost in so many generations. And so where do you feel that we're at today?
Well, I think it's strengthening. But again, like you say, it's a slow process with the programs like the Language Nest. And I know there are some families who speak directly to their children in Ganyageha all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't there like 20, 30 years ago. I mean, in the cases of like Kasanada's family, and my friend Jaraguata, Jimmy Gilbert, him and his brother George were brought up in the language, but then something happened where the ones after them weren't quite spoken to as regularly as they were. But today, I think there's more of many more families trying to do this, and then we see it in school with certain students being making themselves eligible for Radio Buenos Aires and wanting to promote the language and keep it going. So again, like at school, to me, it's giving the students like a love for a language, that it's their first language, and they shouldn't give up on it and be satisfied talking English. They need to work at their language and use it, make it a living language.
So in second language learners, what have you found that relearning your language and having the knowledge and the understanding, like what has it done for you?
Well, for me, it provided work, no, because I'm a teacher, but I was able to bring my children up into that. Mm-hmm. And it gave me that sense of being a mother, to be able to give something to my kids. And just on the trip to back to Mohawk Valley, to see my children interact with the high school students, with the teachers, and for them to be using Kanyakeha on a voluntary basis, not like it was coming out so much more natural just in that setting. And it was so nice to see. But just to go back to the question earlier, I think we're in a okay place because we're hearing it, we're more comfortable. Lateral violence isn't that much. It's, you know, we're more accepting to each other using it, but I don't think we should become comfortable with where we're at, because mm-hmm. even me as a mm-hmm. teacher, there's so many holes that I need to fill in. And so it's a forever process of learning.
Mm-hmm. What was the question again? What did it do for us?
Yeah, what did the language do for you?
For me, it did two things. For Diwani, that's when he was talking about his generation, on that there wasn't, I guess, much use they saw in the language. And so I remember now the late Watsanine. Watsanine Goha. I remember once before this whole program started at Radiwanani, that's we were cutting her grass for a summer job. And she came out and she's like, Agurideka. And I used to be so scared of her, and I knew her. And she remembered me. And she's like, she yelled at us in her yard. She's like, I think so. She's like, well, aguardori no da gua gasta gigo unguawana agewana wa ga kwara agewana wa ga garia ge zinigo wa ga tkarotum. My language put food on the table, it paid for my bills, and it has use. So use it and learn it. And this was like, wow, that's really powerful. So I was like, and it's true. I'm like, yeah. She kept it with her, and so that's what helped me. That's what the language gives. It gives the stability in life, and that it's still it's useful, mm-hmm. like any other language in the world. And so it helps me sustain my life as a person. And also for myself growing up, I was in the boat of either being, it's kind of a different, I have like a small little different culture in me, because I'm Ungwehungwe, but I'm gay as well. Mm-hmm. So for growing up as a teenager, there's either this gay life that you can have, live in the city and be a part of the global community of LGBT people, or you're Ungwehungwe. Mm. And so there was no connection at all. They were separate in my mind back then. Mm. And so then when I started to learn my language, I said, no, I can have both. I can be this global LGBT person. I could be a part of many other communities, but I am Ungwehungwe as well. And this is what the language showed me, mm-hmm. is that I can still be Ungwehungwe and gay at the same time. So that's what it did for me.
For all of you, do you feel that having this language has given you that more deep rootedness and understanding who we are as Kanyakehaga? Has it? You often hear them say that it's more than just a language, right? But what does that mean to you when somebody says that? Like if somebody who's just learning would say, well, what am I going to get out of having this language? What do you mean it's more than just the language? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say it's who we are. I remember as a child, like really having no Kanyakeha, well, experience, mm-hmm. being 10, 11, 12 years old and being in Lachine Arena. I like to play hockey, sports. And the non-native people would ask you, oh, you're from, at the time they said Kaknawaga. can you speak your language? Mm-hmm. So a few of us could count. So we'd say, and they say, what does that mean? Well, that means I'm a Turtle Clan. I'm a native person. I live in Gunawag and all this. So, and then we kind of smirk at each other. But then deep down, you're saying to yourself later, geez, I can't even talk my language. Hmm. Like, who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm claiming at the time we call ourselves Mohawks. We didn't call ourselves Ganyagahaga. But I'm saying I'm a Mohawk person. I can't even talk my language. What is this? Like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. So as I got older, it was always in the back of my mind. And I looked for opportunities. All my parents, uncles spoke Ganyagaha. But as they passed away, I lost any chance of learning. But fortunately, when I was 33, 34, I took the course in 1985. So that gave me a strong base. And I really loved it after that. Visited my relatives as long as they were living and spoke to them in Ganyagaha as much as I could.
And I guess that's another thing that we have, kind of a race against time type situation for us, because listening to what you just said, having all of these elders who are first language speakers that you have access to. And for our generation, the younger generation, those elders are all getting older now. You know, each year we're having more and more of our first language speakers passing away. And with them is all that knowledge that they carry of not just the language, but even the intricacies and the understanding of, well, this is why we say that, or this is why we say it like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So just going back to the initial question of what do you see that it does for you in the sense of having this language giving you that deeper rootedness? Do you feel that it does that?
I'll go. For me, it does do that, but how? The question is, how does it do that?
Yeah.
I usually think about, and for myself, it connects me to my people, of who they are, where they came from, where did that language come from? It came from hundreds and thousands of years of, we don't even, but it has this history and it has this importance of that language created all these connections and relationships throughout history. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I speak this language, that's what I feel, that's what I think about, is that this language came from somewhere and it created so many beautiful relationships and stories and our confederacy and our people. It has meaning. Mm-hmm. It helped our people throughout all these times. So when we speak English, I'm like, that's not who we are at all. I have no connection to the old land. So
yeah. And just last week a student came to visit and he's in college now, and he just shared like with the students, like, you have no idea how good it feels, you have no idea how good it feels to be sitting in a classroom, to be able to present who you are in your own language. He goes, it feels amazing. So it's like almost, I think that you have to remove yourself from Gahnawaga to be able to see yourself and how it feels. Because when you're here, you kind of take it for granted, maybe, that feeling of what it does for you.
And so looking at where we're at today, as Gahnawaga, as Ganyagahaga, because we're not in this alone, we also have other communities that we can turn to for the revitalization of our language. We can also look towards the Confederacy, because this seems to be happening right across all six nations, that there's this big revitalization movement happening. And in a lot of ways, these nations and communities also turn to us to really look at, well, what have we been doing? Like the one Dutu said, we've been at this for since the 70s, you know, that this movement has been happening. So we made a lot of mistakes. We've made a lot of progress. There's been all of this happening in our world. So I guess looking at it, what do you think the next step should be in terms of our language revitalization?
For me, getting the language out there is really important, because a lot of, from the years I've been involved with language, I see that language is only involved in school. And we're relying on our children to continue the language, and then the children are relying on us at home to give back to them. So if we don't have it, where else? So I think that where we could continue is in the sports. We really need to get our coaches on board in the community, getting the parents involved who have the language on those benches and have the drills in the language, count them in Ganyageha, tell the plays, use it as an asset. I think that's one way where it can really pick up and flourish is in that realm. Mm-hmm. One way.
Well, I often thought, well, again, it's been tried, but it's difficult. Like, I envision a kind of a place where you can go have, say, supper between 5 and 7. Elders are there. Now, I don't know if, again, the meals are subsidized or how it's done, but when you get, for example, in the morning, I go to Dustin's, and I run into some of my older friends who are my older gentlemen. I'll name them Lester, Zachary, Herbie Kirby. I mean, first language speakers. And I go talk with them, and then, you know, they say so much to me. I don't understand some of the things because they use, you know, really old terms, and they kind of laugh at me when I don't understand or I say something wrong. But again, it's the experience to try and use the language in a situation where you're comfortable. So the way I see it, if these gentlemen were invited, the meals were subsidized, and you could have people coming in and speaking the language over like a set time of, I mean, mind you, it's only 2 hours, say between 5 and 7, but certainly would make a dent in the efforts to promote the language. And as I always say to the kids, you got to speak it in a natural setting. We're in a classroom sometimes with desks and tables, and it's not a natural setting. There's no stove, there's no sink, there's no couch, there's no place to roll on the floor, you know. So we need a natural setting to learn our language, and I know the language nest does it with small children, but we want to try to do it with adults and teenagers.
Yeah, taking those big next steps.
Can you say the question again?
Well, just what do you feel are like some next steps that we can be taking as a community to really get our language revitalized further?
Ooh, a lot could be done. I don't feel that there's enough being done. Presently, there needs to be more programming in schools. All languages are important to be taught in our schools, and it should be all equal. I feel that as second language speakers, and that we've gone through immersion, I noticed that most people that went through immersion see the things that could be improved, that there needs to be more speaking done for the children, that there needs to be full immersion from being a baby until grade 6 and probably now even into grade 7 in high school. I feel it should be encouraged and it should be pushed to the limit. Like, it has to be done because this is our only time.
Yeah.
And for education, I think it's very possible, but just money has to be put down and it has to be done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The community has to really push for it. It's up to parents to do it. So for education, I think there's a lot that could be done. There's always needs to be new resources. I see that our elders are getting old. So I like to think about the future because I have a lot of old lady friends and old gentleman friends, and they're like my grandparents, many of them. And I always think about what's going to happen when they're not here. That's all I'm thinking about all the time. And so I always tell friends, record your grandparents speaking, have them tell stories, or even don't even tell them and record it because it's important to preserve as much as we can in the time that we have. It's so important because some languages don't have any records. They don't have any recordings of any. It's sad.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about, is what's going to happen when they're not here. So I think the more recording of elders that we have, it's precious. And there needs to be more language documentation community-wide. There needs to be a community dictionary where people could go and check up stuff. It has to be preserved because this is the only time we have with them.
And accessible.
And easily accessible.
Yeah.
What else? I think now there's stuff that's very beneficial that's going on right now with the Wawana Garadats talk show.
Oh, yeah.
The second language talk show, I think that's beautiful. It's wonderful. Yeah. And the community responds well to it because it's at their level and it's learning and it's geared towards everybody. I think it's beautiful and has to be done more. I'm not saying that they should have another show, but they should. More is better.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, there's so much that could be done.
Well, it's just in looking at all of the efforts that are being made, you know, this all hasn't happened overnight.
Nope.
And on the one hand, we can see that we're in a good place. On the other hand, we can see that we still have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we can say that, well, we're a little comfortable in knowing that our language has gotten better. But on the second hand, we have to think about our first language speakers, I should say, who are passing every year. Mm-hmm. And we're always still kind of teetering on that fence, that mm-hmm. it can kind of go one way or the other, depending on our drive and our energy that we put into it. And so what I want to say tonight is that I really want to acknowledge the three of you for coming in tonight and sharing your stories, sharing some of your knowledge, sharing some of your ideas. But I also want to like give you guys a really big acknowledgement, because you three are part of the revitalization effort amongst nearly 200 of our adolescents who are currently at Kahnawake Survival School. And not only that, you've been having that responsibility too for many years of carrying the language and giving it to our teenagers for many years now. Agweredeka, you've been involved with the children, you've been involved with adults, the Wenidatsi yourself too. And so for all of this work that you guys have been doing, you've been some of the champions that we have in our world today, in our community. And having you put that time and energy in has been, you know, you can't put a price on it. And that includes to all of our teachers that are at the elementary level, preschool, adult level, wherever they may be in our community, in our nation. All of the work that they're putting in has been something that, once again, we can't put a price on that. And just to give that acknowledgement to you guys and to them, and to just keep up that good work that you're doing, because we're seeing it still today. In the same way that we gave the acknowledgement to the Yagwahwadzira Daje group last week, I want to extend it out to you guys, and also to all of those who are listening in, to just keep that going. You know, keep up the efforts and do everything you can every day to make sure that this language flourishes and stays alive for our future generations. So I want to say Nyawakoa to our guests for coming in. Up next, we have Robin Dance, and we'll be right back afterwards.